Welcome to the Anabu AI blog in audio.
Good to be here. Today's article is one that hits a lot closer to home than most people realize.
The article is called How AI Data Centers Are Quietly Pushing Up Your Power Bill by Brett Allegre Wood on the Anabu AI blog. When I first read it, I thought, that doesn't sound like an AI story.
It absolutely is, though. And once you see it, you can't unsee it.
So let's start with the setup. Most Australian businesses are expecting their electricity bills to come down. The official forecast was up to 10% drops for households and more for small businesses.
Which would be very welcome. Energy costs are a real pressure right now.
They are. But Brett's argument is that the AI data center building boom is on track to wipe those savings out entirely.
And the numbers behind that are striking. The Australian energy market operator, AEMO, is forecasting data center power consumption could grow by more than 25% per year and potentially triple by 2030.
By 2030, data centers could account for 6% of the entire national grid. That's one industry, one type of infrastructure.
And 90% of Australia's data centers are currently in Sydney and Melbourne. Victoria alone already has 40 operating, with another 11 being fast-tracked by the state government.
NextDC just got approval for a near $1 billion AI facility in Port Melbourne. That approval came through in 75 days.
Fast. And the minister who signed off on it admitted he hadn't yet received advice on how many of these facilities the state's power grid could actually handle.
That's the detail that stays with you. It's a gold rush being run without a map, as Britt puts it, and everyone else on the grid eventually pays for that.
So what's actually driving the demand? People tend to assume data centers have always been there.
They have, but the new generation is in a completely different league. Traditional data centers use roughly the energy equivalent of 10,000 homes. The new hyperscale AI facilities draw significantly more because of the GPUs and specialized chips running the workloads. And all that processing generates enormous heat, which needs even more energy to cool.
So it compounds on itself.
Right. More AI demand, more chips, more heat, more cooling, more electricity. It's a cycle.
And then there's the diesel generator story, because the tech sector talks a lot about sustainability.
The Melbourne facility has 40 diesel generators on site, set to more than double as the site expands. When the grid can't keep up with demand, it switches to backup power, which is diesel. And the water consumption for cooling is significant too, which matters in a country that knows drought well.
The green credentials look pretty shaky at that point.
They do. And if you want a preview of where Australia is headed, look at the U.S. In areas with major data center hubs, wholesale electricity costs have risen 267% over the last 5 years.
267.
Not a rounding error. And Ireland courted the tech industry with tax incentives and ended up with data centers projected to consume nearly a third of the country's total electricity supply by the mid-2030s. An entire country's energy future reshaped by the demands of one industry.
And Australia is on the same path.
That's the article's argument. The trajectory is already visible.
Right. The energy cost side is one half of this. What's the other?
Job displacement. Brett uses the ports as the worked example. DP World, a Dubai-owned port operator, is pushing ahead with automation at terminals in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Fremantle. Over 1,000 skilled jobs under threat, more than 60% of the workforce at those terminals.
And DP World has paid no corporate tax in Australia for over a decade, despite generating hundreds of millions in revenue.
So the primary economic contribution those operations have made to the country has been the wages and taxes of the very workers now facing displacement.
That's a fairly pointed observation, and it connects to the broader number in the article. Nearly 5 million workers across 33 occupations are at a tipping point of being displaced by AI.
The ports are the high-profile, politically visible example. But the same pattern is running sector by sector. AI and automation reducing labor costs, gains flowing to shareholders, disruption landing on workers and their communities.
So what does a business owner actually do with all of this? Because it can feel pretty removed from the day-to-day.
Brett's got three things to hold clearly. One, your energy bill is becoming more volatile. That's an operational risk right now, not a distant concern. Two, the true cost of AI is not the subscription price. When you're making investment decisions, factor in energy costs and grid instability risk, not just the monthly license fee.
And three is the one I think matters most for how your team actually feels about what's coming.
Automation and augmentation are different choices. There are ways to use AI to augment your existing team rather than simply replace it. That choice matters for your people, for retention, and for the kind of business you're building.
For me, the one thing I'd take away this week is to audit your energy spend. Most businesses have never really looked at it properly. Start there, so at least you know your exposure.
And for me, it's the true cost calculation. List your AI subscriptions, estimate the energy overhead where you can, and ask honestly whether the productivity return justifies the total investment.
The full article is at anabu.ai, and if you want this kind of thinking applied to your own business, you can book a free AI audit there as well.
Worth doing. Thanks for listening.